It's great to be back at Marion today. For those of you, most of you know us by now, but my wife Gina, and we have our two amazing, beautiful daughters, Ashley and baby Sarah. Today, Ashley is with Grandma because, Grandma can't seem to stay away from the girls. So she got. Amen. That's good. And we're talking about we're in the parental stage where we're with them all the time. But when you get to the grandparent stage, then you get to spoil the kids and then send them back, hand them back, right? Okay. We're going to be there one day. Right now, we're in that in-between part of it. So anyway, something kind of funny. People ask us, what is it you miss the most about the U.S.? Since we based here for years and now we're in El Salvador. And some of the things that came to mind for me when we've been asked this is Chipotle, Waffle House, and White Castle. Amen. All that amazing American food that's just so blessed. My wife, she said CVS, Walmart, and Target. How many of y'all other ladies here like Target? Okay, I don't know what that's all about, but she always wants to go. And then my daughter Ashley said snow, because down there when it's 100 degrees in January, you don't have much snow. And our little baby Sarah, she said she really misses her triple shot espresso from Starbucks. So, that's... She's after my own heart, just with that love for coffee. So anyway, in the video, you heard some of our testimonies from what the Lord is doing through Crossbar International globally, as well as in El Salvador and Central America. And while there are so many stories that we could share about, the different parts of the world and what the Lord is doing, we just want to kind of highlight a couple of the testimonies from El Salvador and Central America. And one of the things that's really, really neat, we shared a little bit on Friday night about this, but from El Salvador, we're continuing to direct the ministry all over the world, and it's been really awesome to be able to connect, even like what Pastor Tom alluded to, like with the social media piece. We've been able to really, even from there, connect the cultures globally together, and that's been really awesome. This year was the first time we were able to do a Crossfire camp in El Salvador. We've been doing those for years in other countries, but with the elements of what happens in El Salvador, it's been difficult to kind of pull young people from some of the gang-controlled areas together, but we were able to really do that this year and connect from El Salvador to both Cambodia and Thailand, happening on the other side of the world at the same time via like the big screen. And that was really amazing, just connecting the cultures together. So while it was our night service in El Salvador on a Friday night, it was their morning service Saturday morning in Crossfire Cambodia camp. And that was really cool. And then we had a mission team going from Thailand to Cambodia. So there was like three different parts of the world connecting together, which was really amazing to see the dynamic of that. And the Lord really, really ministered powerfully through that. El Salvador is, if you search online and put in El Salvador, you're going to see amazing, beautiful pictures of how just beautiful that part of the world is. El Salvador truly is one of the most beautiful countries in the world, and at the same time, one of the most violent places in the world. The most violent country, not in an active war of some type. It goes back and forth between Honduras and El Salvador. It's gang controlled. Most of the country is gang controlled in different regions. Many of the police are corrupt, bought off by the gangs because it's impoverished. So a lot of them, unfortunately, they need to feed their families. So if they're paid, they can be bought off. And then that allows the corruption to just be rampant. There's entire neighborhoods that are controlled by these gangs, not by the police. And so if you have a business or even a church, and if you don't pay what they call tax, if you don't keep paying these guys, then they come after you. And so you see that, and you have people that don't make enough money anyway, and then that happens, and then they're really kind of oppressed with that. One day, we were with some of our pastors, and we're getting ready to go to one of our meetings, and we saw these helicopters, military helicopters right above us. You could hear it was really loud. And Pastor Solomon, our national director, said, "What's this all about?" And he says, "You didn't know these gangs took over these villages, and the military has to go in and fight them off to free these people because they're trying to take everything that these people have." And so that's the element of kind of what we're in. Our national director, two different times has had life, like death threats against him and his family. They've left and returned. You know, one of our other pastors, the gangs put a gun to his head and said, "Pastor, we need your car." So now he doesn't have a car. Just sharing with you some of the elements of kind of what is there. We live in a place that's like a military compound, but it was really actually because God is with us, we feel the peace of the Holy Spirit while we're there. But yet each day, men with machine guns are at the front of where we enter, and we enter and exit each day. So that's kind of like where we are so that our family is safe, just to kind of give you guys a little bit of the element. But in that element, we are seeing God move in significant, amazing ways. There is no safer place to be on earth than in the will of God. Amen? There's no better place, no safer place to be than right in the middle of where he tells you to be. If that place is in Ohio, if that place is in El Salvador, or you know, some of the other places, 63 countries, I mean, when we were in the Middle East, we've been there. I'm telling you, there's no safer place and better place to be than right in the middle of where he tells you to be. If you're not supposed to be in Ohio and you are and you're supposed to be there, then it's significantly safer there, because you can obviously see with what just happened in California and what's going on in different parts of the world that evil is present. And so the best place and safest place to be is in God's will. Amen. Quick testimonies. And then my wife is going to say a little something this morning. And between the two of us, she is clearly the more extroverted one. anyway, you know, already we've seen, you know, the Lord expanding through the different states. And each week we do these evangelisms before the cell groups. With the implementation, we set up these Crossfire cell groups all across the country. So part of what we do is evangelism, and we'll take these teams out and go door to door. And we have seen in those evangelism outreaches, many times we've had gang members, some of these violent gang members, come to know Christ. We've seen drug addicts, we've seen prostitutes come to know Christ through that. We've really seen the evangelism be extremely effective. We believe we're not even going to get on an airplane if there's not going to be an opportunity for souls to be saved. That's what this thing is all about. And so, you know, clearly with that, we've been able to, Lord's used us to help encourage and raise up those leaders with a strong evangelistic focus in the midst of the work of establishing an ongoing ministry. The camps and crusades, although there were several crusades that we did, which are open air crusades where we have thousands of people at times reached out to. Our Zacatecoluca crusade, over 1,500 attended that. That's another gang headquarters area. And so we were able to see over 300 youth and young adults come to know Christ on the streets, clearly preaching loudly the word of God, so that all those... Oh, one other thing about the Zacatecoluca crusade, I didn't say this on Friday. There was this, what was it, like a witchcraft, like some kind of witch festival that was happening directly across from us in the area. And so we were like turning up the volume even louder to drown all that out, so that all those people over there could clearly hear about Christ. Kebasa elehir, choosing between life and death. And you know, we had some of them actually kind of come over to where we were. Amen. Praise God. Because, you know, obviously the message of salvation is the strongest message that you can preach anywhere. And so we were able to see God really move through that. Last thing I want to say quickly is the trips from El Salvador to the other parts of the world, Honduras and Nicaragua. We saw over 400 come, said this on Friday night, but just to share this again, to the first crusade we ever did in Choluteca, Honduras. We had 9 new churches that are part of Crossfire there. 200 of the young people came through them, and then we did the evangelism again before, and because of that, in a very remote area where most people were on horses and eating las baleadas y la molleja de puerco y all that, and just very remote areas, and we saw well over 200 come off the streets. They did not expect that many. There was just standing room only in this place, and we had over 300 come to know Christ there with a powerful, powerful move of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praise God. And so I could... Again, Pastor Perry gave me 4 hours on Friday night. He gave me 3 today, so I've got to keep it real short today. So I'm going to let my wife share something, and then we're going to get into the word for this morning. Amen? One thing I have to say before I, probably the most important. Now, you know what? Let me let her share first, and then I'll end it. I'll wind it up.
You share your piece. Good morning, Marion. There's so many things I could share about this move that we've made. The first, the really the most prevalent thing that really comes to my mind is just how God will really back you when you take a step in the, you know, the direction that his voice is leading. And God has really been with us, and we've seen a lot of good testimonies happen. But, you know, personally, Joe has shared a lot about, you know, the facts, you know, the statistics, and, you know, the different numbers of how many people have come to know Christ. But personally, sharing about, I'd like to share personally, just to connect with you guys, just to share about how, you know, it can really affect you personally when you step out and follow what God is leading you to do. Well, for me personally, I had a huge fear that was passed down generationally of violence. And so now God is telling us to move to the most violent place in the world, you know, that's not an act of war. And I was ready. I was like, okay, God, time to face my fear, you know. And God has just blown my mind, you know. Like, I'm not even afraid of it anymore. I'll just walk up to whoever and just share Christ, and I just feel so confident. And God has grown us both so much just in this move, like spiritually. Like, I feel like spiritually I'm so much on another level. You know, God is starting to really move in prophecy, and starting to really move in praying for people, intercession. And it's been like a roller coaster ride where I just feel like, okay, God, I'm ready. And, you know, I am not like the speaker type. I'm very like the quiet type. But God has made me so excited that, you know, I don't even mind sharing today, which is abnormal for me. 'Cause my husband that's his natural, you know, that's his natural personality, you know. But I'm just so excited that God can just do such a rapid growth, you know, in the spiritual realm. You know, not just like, you know, with your personal walk, but in the gifts and in seeing him in a new realm. And so I just want to encourage all of you this morning to just follow whatever God is leading you to do, whether it's, you know, sharing Christ with somebody at work, or, you know, whatever that thing is. Just be encouraged to step out.
Thank you. So much more lovely when my wife is standing next to me, the whole thing. So lastly, I want to mention this. We return to El Salvador January 15th. And before we leave the U.S., we must raise right around $20,000 for the 2016 CrossFire International Camps, Crusades, and Mission Trips. And that is a lot that's going to be accomplished for that very small amount of money. It doesn't sound small, but we're able to do a lot with that. This will help us help do camps, which bring hundreds out to each of the camps and crusades in El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua, Thailand, Cambodia, Burma, Laos, Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, and the Philippines. This support will also help us lead mission trips again from El Salvador this year to Honduras, Nicaragua, Peru, and Chile. And whatever you can give, church, you're investing in the eternity of a generation globally. There is nothing greater or more significant that we can sow into that could reap a more eternal reward than to be able to sow into the eternity of a generation worldwide. Amen? And so we thank you very much for that. And as well as our ongoing support, if any of you feel led to by the Lord to stand with us, we will be at the table afterwards. There's a simple little sheet that you can sign that just says, hey, we'll stand with you in whatever amount the Lord may put on your heart. There's a prayer card, and there's a new business card my wife just helped design. It looks great. And so all that's in the back. And so if you'd like to and feel led, we'll be at the table in the back, and we can get you guys connected in with that. So seriously, Marin, we thank you for your prayers and support as together we change this generation, one nation at a time. Amen. Okay. So now we're going to move into the word for the morning, and I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to begin the service, or begin the sermon part of the service. Lord, we just come before you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you did here on Friday night, for how you moved significantly on Friday night. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us and bringing us to a greater understanding of our identity in you, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for now how you're going to speak to us this morning, God, about dealing with the voice of fear and being able able to overcome and come to another level of our identity, and you even beyond listening to the voice of fear. Holy Spirit, we give you praise and glory. We thank you, God, for the few weeks that we have here in the U.S. to pass through partnering churches and share testimonies and preach here, to be equipped to go back there and to be able to be even more equipped globally in what we're doing with Cross, what you're doing through Crossfire International. We just give you praise and glory and thank you what you're going to do today and how you're going to speak in Jesus' name. Everyone repeat with me. Today's message is entitled, No Fear. Say it nice and loud with me, No Fear.
No Fear.
No Fear. Okay. The text that we're going to begin with this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Okay, that's one. And then 25, I'm sorry, I said 5 and I meant to say 25, although that's a good verse too. Here's the main one. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Have no fear. Word of God is telling us that it is not God's will for us to be afraid or to live in fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. We all know that scripture, church. The church knows that scripture. But what we see that's in this is that verse is telling us that God has not given us a spirit of fear. It's not God's will for us to live in fear, to be afraid. That's not God's will. So if fear does not come from God, where does fear come from? Amen. So fear is not of God. It's not God's will for us to live in fear, to be afraid. Fear is one of Satan's greatest weapons against humanity. Fear is described, defined as a painful agitation in the presence or anticipation of danger, anxiety, dread, horror, panic, or terror. Description of fear. Fear is something that every one of us will face in life or has faced or is currently facing or will face. All of us will at some point confront or come face to face with some attempt to make us afraid, some fear. All of us will deal deal with different fears, but the truth is all of us will face fear. What the fear that the devil might throw at me may not be the same thing he might throw at you. There's a variety of different fears that people will face. However, the one thing we know is that it will be thrown at every one of us. At some point, there will be something that will try to stand up against you and cause you to be afraid in some way. Okay? And so say it with me one more time. No fear. Psychologists have diagnosed thousands of fears, and there are many people who are medicated because of fear and anxiety, okay? I'm going to share just a few random fears that have been diagnosed as actual fears that people take medicine for, the anxiety caused by those fears. Okay, here's the first one, and some of you have heard of this one, arachnophobia. How many of y'all know what that is? And I think there may be many ladies here who have that. I know my wife kind of has that because whenever there's any kind of a spider or whatever kind of thing, she will jump. And she. How many husbands have ever had to like deal with the, okay, all right. It doesn't matter if it's 3 a.m. and I'm all tired. I'm like, I don't care if it crawls on me. I'm tired. I just want to go to bed. You know, it doesn't matter to me so much if it's crawling around. But my wife does not like that. So maybe she has some arachnophobia. I don't know. Okay. But some other fears. Okay. There's another one called halitophobia, which is an actual fear of bad breath. Seriously. There's a diagnosed fear. Another one is ablutophobia, which is a fear of bathing. A diagnosed fear of bathing, okay? Chinophobia, which is a fear of snow, where people are so terrified of snow that they could shake and sweat because of this fear of snow, okay? This is a long one. Logizomichinophobia, which is a fear of computers. Diagnosed fear that'll make you sweat and start shaking because you saw a computer. That exists. That's a diagnosed, medicated, people treated because of that type fear. Okay. Chromatophobia, a fear of money. Diagnosed fear of not being able to see any kind of money. Anyone have that? Okay. Where if you see money coming near you, you start to like shake and jump and try to get out of the way. Someone's trying to give you money. That exists. Okay. Creophobia is a fear of ice cream. Anyone have a fear of ice cream? Anyone have a love of ice cream? Yes, we do like ice cream. So we do not have, hey, here's one that I know I do not have. Java phobia. How many of y'all think you know what that is? Fear of coffee. Diagnosed medical condition where you actually hyperventilate and shake and sweat because of the sight of coffee. I do not have that fear. And here's the last one is a homilophobia. Homilophobia, a fear of sermons. That's a diagnosed medical condition fear that people have seen psychologists over and taken medicines out of a terror of hearing a sermon. Hopefully and prayerfully, no one here today has that fear, okay? For those, you know, it's amazing because the devil has inundated this world with fear. Okay, I was shocked when I looked at the amount of fears, and there was thousands and thousands of fears. Diagnosed fears about everything you can imagine has some name that's diagnosed as a condition that you can receive treatment and medication for fear. And so it's just amazing how the devil has used this and uses this to limit and stop people from progressing. We talked on Friday night about identity. Repeat that with me one more time, identity. Okay, and in that message, we talked about how Satan came at the beginning and lied to man about God's identity and about our identity. We talked about the importance of recognizing, listening to, and obeying God's voice and ignoring every other voice. Not only does Satan try to lie about God's identity and steal our identity, but beyond that, he will also try to control our lives with fear. 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 Fear is a voice. Fear is a way that the devil attempts to try to step in and to affect us, intimidate us, hold us back, keep us down, and limit us in life through fear. Satan wants people in the world to be afraid to come to Christ or to come out of sin, afraid to accept Christ, afraid to surrender their old ways to Christ, and afraid of letting go of wrong relationships and trusting God. But even within the church, even with Christians, the devil still tries to use fear to hold us back in different ways. One example among many of the different things that the devil will try to cause us to be afraid of. The devil wants us to be afraid at times to share Christ with others, afraid at times to step out in prayer, to exercise a prophetic gift if you feel a leading of the Holy Spirit to do, afraid that you might make a mistake, afraid of being able to speak or to pray in front of other people, afraid even to answer and fulfill the call of God on your life. The devil tries to use fear and tries to speak into people's minds, fears, all kinds of different, many different types of fear with the attempt, the same reason why the devil, like we shared on Friday night, that the devil wants to steal our identity with a voice. The devil comes to try to accuse the identity of God and the identity of man in our minds, the same way the devil wants to implant fears in our lives to limit us, to keep us back, to tell us we're not going to be able to succeed if we step out in that. Many people literally, for whatever reason, a variety of reasons, will feel like their heart be increasing or like getting all fast or just getting all like terrified or afraid of certain things because the devil has tried to implant fear in our lives at certain points. And so even within the church, even saved people who are filled with the Holy Ghost and on their way to heaven, the devil still tries to whisper and limit us in the church with fear. Amen? That's the truth. That's the truth. Even sometimes the devil tries to put fear in my mind about junk, or it's different stuff than maybe he might try to put in my wife's mind, but still, the devil is always there trying to whisper, trying to cause, whatever, it doesn't matter. I mean, it can be, I guarantee it's a variety of different things that he would even be trying to whisper at this present season of our lives in any of our minds at any given time to try to hold us back and to try to keep us from the fullness of what God has for us and the full call that God has for us in this life. Amen? Many people, unfortunately, live their entire lives limited in some way by fear. Say it with me one more time. No fear. I have two examples of this in the Bible that we're going to look at in this message today. God wants us to have victory over fear. We must understand this. It is not God's will for us to be afraid. God desires for us to have victory over fear, but this requires an action on our part. Go with me to the first text. First thing is we've got to be willing to confront the devil's voice of fear as well as follow the Holy Spirit and along the way through the things that the Holy Spirit will lead us through that may appear to be dark or the things that the Lord may prompt us to do that may be out of our comfort zone. We also, there's those two elements. There's the devil trying to cause us to be afraid about different other random things, and then there's the natural reaction that we have when the Holy Spirit's trying to lead us to a new place and we might initially feel frightened. Okay, there's these two things. There's these two different elements that we're going to and we are addressing today. Matthew chapter 4, verse 14, 25 to 30. Matthew 14, 25 to 30. That is our first text. It says, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Okay, so we see this example here, and following in this, you see an example of the disciples. They were following Christ, and yet things appeared that tried to cause them to be afraid. The first thing you see is it says in verse 25, the fourth watch, which meant the middle of the night, the time when things were darkest. Okay, so we see that Jesus came to them in the middle of the night, and the disciples, because of the darkness, could not tell that it was Jesus. Follow me on this. If it was daylight, they could have seen and known clearly that it was Jesus, but because of the darkness, they were unable to tell that it was Jesus, even though it was Jesus. Okay, so why this is significant is because we will at times when we are following Christ with all of our hearts, he will walk us through moments that are dark, that appear dark, and in those moments it's harder to see where he is, what he's doing. It's harder to tell and be able to decipher the reflection of Jesus in those moments. If you serve God long enough and if you follow Jesus long enough, there's going to be moments that appear a little darker. How many of you know what I'm saying? In those moments, it could seem frightening because you say, hey, I remember last week Jesus seemed all clear. It was 3 p.m., the sun was out, I saw his flowing hair, I saw his reflection, I saw all that, but it's dark right now. Where'd Jesus go? What's that over there, that figure? Yet it's still Jesus, it's just the surroundings have changed, and so it could appear and seem a little more difficult for us to be able to discern and tell exactly what he's doing, where's he at, what's going on. Here we are out in this boat, it's all dark and looking up at the stars and it doesn't look like we used to be on the shore eating bread and with other 5,000 other people, and now we're out here in this boat, it's all dark. Who's this figure on the water? Fear hit them. The reaction. That's Bible. It says it in verse 26. The reaction was they were terrified, and their response was, it's a ghost. But was it a ghost? Was that a proper determination of what was going on at that moment? Many of us make determinations based upon the way things appear, that conclusions that aren't correct conclusions, simply based upon our interpretation of the way things appear at that moment, but our interpretation is incorrect because we don't have all the facts. We don't really know what's going on, and because that the current moment is not the moment that we saw Christ maybe a week ago when it was lighter, and so many of us then have a reaction of fear because we can't really tell truly what's going on. The truth was, it wasn't a ghost. It was the Holy Ghost, but it wasn't a ghost as they determined or were thinking that it was. Follow, everyone follow me on this. Terrified, it's a ghost. But was it a ghost? No, it was Jesus appearing to them in a way that they had never seen before. Doing something that they had never seen him do before. Jesus will come at us in ways that we have never seen before. He will ask us to do things that we did not expect him to ask us to do. And many times we are afraid in those moments because it appears like a ghost. Wow, whoa, hey, it's dark out here. Jesus, this isn't how you appeared to me a week ago when we were all there having bread and fish, all you can eat buffet of bread and fish, and now we're out here in this boat and it's all dark. What is going on right now? And many of us kind of can react. And I know for us sometimes, for example, we were basing out of the U.S. for years with this ministry in nice, comfortable, cozy P-Town, Pickerington, southeast of Columbus, a little suburban out from Pickerington where our house is, and 204 and 256 and Alt Road and Tollgate Road, where we got, you know, kind of close to everything, comfortable, but there's some tractors that go down once in a while and everything easy, and the way we loved life and had it all there. And then the Holy Spirit says, and he came to us at night and said, go to El Salvador. Kind of took back a little bit, me and my wife, like, whoa, that wasn't, we always thought we just travel from here on 6 and 8 week trips forever from this part of it. And then Jesus said, and so we had to like pray on that and seek God on that for several months and continued to receive confirmation. Just like here, Jesus said, it is I, don't be afraid. This is me, this is I, do not be afraid no matter what it appears like around you. All of us at times, if we're really going to go higher, if we're really going to come to a place where our potential becomes reality in this life, we're going to need to pass through these moments when things appear to be a little dark and we're not exactly clear what Jesus is doing, what he's maybe even, like, we kind of hear what he's saying, but we're not sure, who is it? Is that really him? It's dark. And what is that really him? And yet, in that, Jesus comes out and identifies himself in verse 27 and resolves and kind of knocks down the question, because he says, hey, yes, this is me. This is I. This is I. Verse 27. It is I, Jesus identified, and then he said, behind that, don't be afraid. Someone say it with me one more time. No fear. Terrified, they said it's a ghost, but it wasn't a ghost, it was the Holy Ghost. And so it was Jesus appearing to them in a way they had never seen before. In verse 27, Jesus identifies and said, hey, it's all right, it's me. And I'm not going to keep coming to you the way I came all the other times, because you'll become dependent upon that way rather than dependent upon me. I'm preaching to myself right now too. Sometimes I'm serious. Like, I tell Gina, I'm like, hey, you ever, Pastor Perry, I know you've probably done this. You're up there preaching. You're like, man, that's good. I need to take notes on that. Yeah, I need to take notes so I don't forget that. And you're the one preaching, yet you want to take notes on what you're saying because the Holy Spirit's also speaking to you. Yes, he is. Say it with me one more time. No fear. So the last, okay. So then there's an invitation in verse 29 to 31. There's a three-part invitation. Verse 21 and 29 says, come. This is where Jesus invites Peter forward. Then verse 30, one simple word, wind. Peter had to face the things that looked scary. Come, wind caught him. Okay? Wind in verse 30, sometimes when Jesus says, come, in verse 29, then all this wind starts blowing right after he says, come. Like, man, what's all this, man? I didn't expect all this wind. I didn't expect all this noise. I didn't expect all this. I thought he would just say, come, and it'd be nice, and oh, there the road, the streets would be gold, and everything would be perfect, and yet there's wind after the invitation to come. How many of y'all ever felt any wind? Anybody ever felt any wind at all? Yeah, sometimes it gets windy. Sometimes there's a chance of wind when we follow Jesus. It's like on the weather. Today, chance of wind. Okay, if you're going to follow Jesus, there's a chance of wind. There's a chance of wind. Okay, but then you see as Peter responded, faced the wind that came, verse 31, it says Jesus caught him. And then he said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And that's the deal. That's the issue with us. We have this tendency to doubt when things seem windy, when things appear dark, when Jesus appears to us in a way that we never saw him appear before. There's this tendency in us to react afraid. There's this tendency in us to react a little taken back and unsure, like, okay, what? What is this? What's going on? Repeat with me one more time. No fear. So we move on. So what do we do with this? How do we do? We see the invitation come. We see the wind. And then we see that Jesus caught him because he came. Not going to catch you until you come. Not going to catch you until you step out of what's comfortable and face that wind. Not going to catch you. The problem is, I'm just going to speak truth for a moment. Many Christians don't ever step out and face the wind. Everybody wants the glorious times when they see Jesus catch them and see all these great things happen. But few want to face that wind. Man, I don't want to face that wind. I'm just going to sit here where it's not windy. And then wonder why and are frustrated because they never see these great things happen, not realizing there's a price. There's a cost. It gets windy when you start following Jesus to the higher places. Amen? It gets a little windy. You ever felt the wind, Pastor Perry? Yeah, just a little bit. Okay, final text that we're going to look at with this today, and that comes from Daniel chapter 3, verse 22 to 25. Daniel chapter 3, verse 22 to 25. Got Daniel. Says this, the king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men firmly tied fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Victory over fear. There's a way that we can position ourselves to be victorious over these fears that try to interfere with us and hold us back. Amen? There's a way to be victorious over the fear. Someone say with me, victorious over fear. Go back just a little bit to verse 17 and verse 18. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. We must, okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to face the threat. In this, they were threatened with a real fire, a real fire, a real threat was before them, and they had a choice to make. That looks scary, okay? That fire looks real hot. So yet they're following God, and it got windy on them, got a little windy. Hey, we're just following God. We're serving faithful, and the faithfulness qualified them for this fire. And all of a sudden, they're facing this fire, and they hear this voice that says, hey, if you don't bow and worship these false gods, you will be thrown into this fire. Sometimes things get a little tight when we follow Christ. We follow God. It might get a little tight, but that's because he's trying to glorify himself in this, and he's inviting us to participate. Okay? So facing the fears, the fire, okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego served God faithfully, and this qualified them. They faced a real threat of fire, so they were qualified for the fire because of their faithfulness to God. And rather than for them to allow fear to control their lives, they faced their fear. Okay? If we want to be victorious over fear, we must confront our fears and do the very thing the devil's trying to keep us from doing. And I'm gonna wind this message up in a moment. How many of y'all know when a preacher says he's gonna wind up the message, he only has 9 points left? Amen? Only 9 more points. 2 more hours. That's it. Okay, if we want to be victorious over fear, we must confront our fears. Do the very thing the devil is trying to keep us from doing. We must not only, hey, this is interesting. We must not only pray and fast and seek God to deliver us our fears, then we've got to act. We've got to move. We've got to confront. We've got to be intentional in our movement towards and confronting the very thing that the devil's trying to keep us from doing. The very person the devil doesn't want us to talk to. The very thing he wants, he might be telling us to step out and pray. He might be telling us to move out of the country. He might be telling whatever it is, and don't go and do things he didn't tell you to do, but the things that he is directing you to do and the devil's trying to make you afraid to do, that's the very thing we need to do. James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. Okay, so we've got to add some works and some movement to that, those faith and prayers. Those prayers, there needs to be some movement. So you see that right here demonstrated before us, movement. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw the fire. They had a chance to be afraid, but rather than choosing to be afraid, verse 22 says, it says, the decision was they were going to confront it. In verse 22, it was scary, looked all fiery, but they trusted God, and they were thrown into the fire. And verse 325, we see the result. What is the result of them deciding to trust God and face the fire rather than them deciding to run and just kind of jump out of this thing and say, hey, I've had enough. I ain't going to participate in this anymore. We need to quit unparticipating in the things the Lord is trying to direct us to do. We need to continue to hang in there and see what's going to come about. You see the result? Say it with me, unbound. One more time, nice and loud, unbound. This is real interesting. This is real interesting. 3 verse 25 says that they were unbound. They were chained with certain, there were certain chains on them before they fell into the fire. But because they confronted their fears, because they followed God, the chains that had them broke off. There's something in this for us. Every one of us has something that's tried to chain us back from the past, some kind of generational curse, some kind of fear, some kind of struggle, some kind of secret sin. But I put onto the table today that maybe if we follow the Holy Spirit and we confront those fears and we follow him through the fire, that those chains could break off of us. Amen? Unbound. Say it with me one more time, unbound. Unbound. Chains broke off. Amen. Chains will break off of our lives when we choose to confront our fear and trust God. The chains of generational curses, the chains of insecurity, the chains of failure, the chains of all the different mess that tries to stick itself all up onto us will break off when we decide to confront that thing, when we decide to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, move forward, unbound. God wants us to be unbound. Amen. Say it with me one more time, unbound. Hey, something else happened in this too. There was another result. Right after it, we see the word unharmed. Say with me, unharmed. Unharmed. God protected them. No bad thing happened to them. The devil always wants to get up in your ear and say, oh, if you do that, if you go down and live in El Salvador, all that stuff can happen to you. There's all kinds of diseases and chikungunyas and people in the hospital and violence and all this. It can happen. It can be real scary. So the devil's going to get up in your ear and put all this stuff that could happen. You can't do that. You can't do it. But hey, somehow they were unharmed. They were unharmed. And I'm still trying to get my mind on that one. Because the devil still tries to get in our minds and tell us, oh, if you keep this up, something's eventually going to harm you. That's a lie straight from hell. That's not of God. That's not what this Bible's telling me right here. It says unbound, say it with me, unbound. Unbound. Unharmed, say it with me, unharmed. Unharmed. My gosh, look at this. Unbound and unharmed. Because they dared to follow God when they had an opportunity to be scared and intimidated and fall off because the threat was real. It looked real. It looked real. That was an actual real fire. It wasn't a made-up little paper fire. That was an actual fire, but yet somehow their faith had developed to the point where they could hold on to God in the face of a real threat. I want to get there. I desire to get there. But we have to follow God through some windy places. Things will get a little windy. Things might get a little fiery. Say it with me one more time, unbound. Unharmed. Lastly, you see in here, says sons of God. Son of God, son of God. And the fourth looks like the son of God. This is where we're going to wind this up. Now, that's Christ appearing hundreds of years before he actually came to earth. Oh, there's some richness in that. Christ was revealed in the fire. Christ was revealed. They saw Christ in this fire. 500 years roughly before he was born into this world, Christ appeared to them divinely ahead of schedule. Hey, ahead of schedule, ahead of schedule. Hey, do you want Christ to appear a little ahead of schedule? I know I do. I want him to appear ahead of schedule. Might be scheduled, but hey, but they trusted God in the fire and he couldn't, it's like he couldn't even hold himself back. He's up there in heaven. He's looking down saying, oh my gosh, I know I have to wait 500 more years, but I just got it there. But they're trusting me in the fire. Can I appear, Jesus, God, can I just appear a little bit down there? Show up just a little bit ahead of schedule. And he jumped down in that fire and showed himself off a little ahead of schedule. I want to see him ahead of schedule. I want to see him on whatever schedule. Sometimes we feel he's behind schedule. Hey, sometimes we feel he's a little behind schedule. Sometimes we don't know exactly where he is. Sometimes it appears a little dark. Sometimes it appears a little windy. Sometimes it appears a little unsure. Where's he at right now? What's this look? Why does this look all scary right now? I know what he look. I've seen him in the daylight, but it looks a little darker right now. Where is he at? And I'm here to tell you this morning that if we follow him, the proof of our positioning is in our obedience, the ability to confront those fears and position ourselves so that we can see him revealed to us. Amen. Say it with me, unbound, unharmed. Well, say this with me, son of the gods. He wasn't the son of the gods. He was the son of God. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand that. And he looks, they couldn't describe it any other way. Oh my gosh. They couldn't describe it any other way. They were seeing a new revelation. They were seeing the plan of God a little early. The ultimate plan of God's redemptive plan in this thing called humanity on earth. Through the history of humanity, he came. He showed up a little early. They saw a glimpse, a little ahead of schedule of Christ appearing in a way that was undeniable. And they couldn't even describe it. All they could say is, there's something about what that figure that's appearing in the fire. Yes, he appeared. He appears a little dark when they were trusting him and it was a little windy, but now he's very clear in the fire. They could see, they could make it out. That's the Son of God. God is desiring in inviting us to come out onto the water, to face what looks scary, face what looks fearful, face what looks scary, and he'll meet us there. Sometimes it's so scary because you want to hold on to all these things. You want to hold on to all this stuff. You want it to be all predictable and understandable. And yet, he appears in a new way. Can we stand? We're gonna respond this way this morning. If you don't want to be afraid anymore, raise your hand. I don't want to be afraid anymore. Tired of it. Tired of it. Sometimes we obey God and we're exactly where he wants us to be. We're doing what he wants us to do, but yet there's this nagging little voice of fear that pops up every now and then. Tired of that. Don't want to hear that anymore. Okay. We did this on Friday night, but I feel the Holy Spirit leading for this too. If you don't want to be afraid, come up. Just come up, come up, come up, come up. We're just going to pray for you and then we're going to dismiss the service. I just want to pray that the Lord will just deliver us, give us the strength, give us the anointing to overcome fear, to rise above fear. Lord Jesus, we come before you today. We pray in this place that you will deliver us from everything that tries to intimidate us, hold us back, limit us. Everything that tries to cause us to be afraid, that tries to hold us back, God, we pray that you would deliver us from fear. It's not your will, God. It's not your will. It's not in Scripture. Fear in Scripture is not, it's identified that it's not of you. It's of the devil. So we pray that today, Lord God, you would allow us to listen for your voice and ignore every other voice. And when you tell us to come, let us come. And when you prepare us that there's wind, let us hold on to you in the wind so that we can get to the next phase and we can see you catch us time and time and time again. And even beyond that, Lord God, let us hold on to you when things feel fiery so that we can see you in a new way. We can see a new revelation of who you are. Lord God, I pray for every one of us in this room, Lord God, bring us out, bring us out. Give us a new boldness. Give us a new anointing, God. Give us a divine connection to you, Lord God, that we can rise above fear.